Welcome to episode 109 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will understand the ins and outs of what a quiz is and how to pronounce it, get a quick overview of 14 key business words, discover just how well Alistair does in this particular test, and of course, test yourself in the process. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we are going to be doing something a little bit different, and actually what we're going to be doing is we're going to test Alistair's business English, and this I think will be very interesting for all of you because we're actually going to test it in a way that we're going to start off with the Spanish word and see whether he can go or how quickly he can go into and find the English word. So, as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. I'm doing fine. Bit nervous about this quiz, this test you're going to give me. Hopefully, I can get all the answers correct. So, sort of a test of business English and Spanish, obviously.
That's true. Things. Yeah.
A translation test,
that's right. In fact, probably it would be actually better to say, as you said, a quiz rather than a test, because a test sounds a bit formal.
This is more like a school quiz or something, or you're going to give me marks and correct me. And yeah, quiz, good word, quiz.
Yeah, maybe we should explain that word first.
Yeah, well, it's Q-U-I-Z. So I have heard Spanish people sometimes using it in Spanish, quiz. Because I think they've probably seen it on TV programs or something. Some people know the word, some people don't. But if you, when I pronounced it quiz, they're like, what? But if I go quith, un quith, and they go, ah, yeah, un quith. And others have no idea what I'm talking about. So some people recognize that word if you pronounce it in a Spanish way.
Yeah.
But if you say quiz in the correct English pronunciation with a z sound at the end, usually people look sort of like, what? No idea.
Exactly.
So it's on concurso, I think, is the word.
Yeah, concurso, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a kind of game competition. Actually, sometimes the way I explain it when people are a bit mystified what I'm talking about, I'll say, like, and now I've forgotten what the word is. There's a very famous game that I'm sure you know that you play where you have questions you have to answer on topics, you know, like history.
It's Trivial Pursuit.
So I'll say to people, Trivial Pursuit, and they go, yes, Trivial Pursuits. So everyone knows trivia, no?
Yes.
And I say, well, it's like that, really. A quiz is you ask questions on different topics like sports, general knowledge, history, geography, and then you sort of get points. Or Quiero Ser Millonario, which is an example in Spain on the TV. Well, it's in England we have exactly this, I want to be a millionaire, no?
Sure, sure.
So there's lots of universal quizzes that are in every country in the world. So it starts in one country, and then I suppose they sell the derechos, the rights.
Of course.
You know, like Big Brother is on in almost every country.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So there's an example of a quiz, no? They ask you questions on different topics, you win points, and then you get a prize. And here's another ending in a Z. Well, it ends in an E, but the sound is Z, prize, which people confuse with the word price,
which
ends in a C-E, but it sounds like an S. So this Z and S sounds can be quite difficult for Spanish speakers to differentiate between a prize and and the price of something, a precio. Yeah. So in this case, maybe you win a prize.
Yeah, we'll get onto that at the end, obviously, because you obviously don't know whether you're going to do well.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to
win a prize. So you don't know whether you're going to get a prize or not.
Or what the prize is, we'll see. no premium. Okay.
That's right. Hit me. We don't want to jump the gun, do we? We don't want to jump the gun and assume that you're going to get a prize, right?
No, because you haven't told me, so I don't know. We'll see. And I said, hit anyway. Me. Now, there's an interesting expression as well. Came up in a session I had the other day. I don't know why. So if you say hit me, so it doesn't mean hit me physically, like or punch literally. Me in the face.
Yeah.
It's when someone's saying they're going to ask you a question or something, you go, okay, hit me. So it's like, ask me the question then. Go ahead. No?
Yeah.
So, you know, hit me with the
hit
quiz.
Me with it. También se puede decir, no?
Yeah, hit me with it. Yeah, but yeah. Not literally.
Okay.
I hope.
All right. No, I'm not going to. I've got 14 things that I'm going to hit you with.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Okay. All business words, all Spanish business words, and the idea is that you translate them for our listeners into English, giving us any additional information that you might want to give us, and Alistair, along the way.
As we go along the way, there might be some interesting aspects to these words.
Absolutely.
That we can add, or you can add, obviously.
Yeah, and
so let's see if I can get all 14. This is a real, good. It is a good test. So maybe it's not a test in the sense we said before, like a school test or an exam, but it's a test of my knowledge of business English and Spanish, obviously.
I suppose the other thing that we should mention just before we start is that probably the most famous type of quiz is a pub quiz, right?
Oh, yes. Pub quiz. Classics in England. Very, very popular pub quizzes.
Yes. I mean,
actually,
it's,
when I first came to Madrid in May 1997, as people know, I mentioned it many times before, I very quickly, within a week or two of arriving, discovered my local Irish pub that was just on the corner near where I lived. And they had every Monday, they had a pub quiz. It's quite common they put it on days like Mondays. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's a very quiet day for business. Obviously, they wouldn't put it on a Saturday night when the pub would be full of people anyway. So it's to attract people on quiet evenings. So they used to have their pub quiz on a Monday night. And a pub quiz is basically people in the pub would form teams. So you just find a friend or someone who, you want to be in my team. You come up with your name of your team.
Yeah.
Often very silly, stupid names people invent.
Yeah.
And then basically you have a quiz master, the person who asked the questions. So they create the questions and ask the questions. The quiz master, as we call them. They ask the questions in different categories. Each team, you write your answers down on a piece of paper. And then basically at the end, you know, it's corrected. And the team that gets the most questions correct, gets the most points, wins a prize. Now, can you guess what the prize would be in an Irish pub for winning the pub quiz? Would you
probably something to do with liquid beverages?
Yeah, Guinness. So you got a free. Each member of the team got a free pint of Guinness,
right?
Or two. I can't remember if you won the quiz. So
So
it was great fun, and actually, it's the way I met, I think, all my closest friends now in Madrid that I still know now from those days. I met in the pub quiz because they're in my team or in another team.
So
it's a good
cool.
way to meet. It's a social thing, to meet people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good, and it's good fun, you know. And some people are very competitive, take it very seriously.
Oh, no, I know. The only problem for me was that I was always absolutely useless at pub quizzes.
Oh, well,
just like I am at Trivial Pursuit. I mean, I'm useless at Trivial Pursuit as well. I mean, I just don't have, I don't know what I'm kind of,
general
I
knowledge.
Like, yeah, general knowledge is not
well, speciality. What you need in your team is obviously getting people who each have their speciality, who knows something about a particular. So if you get somebody who's good at geography, somebody's good at sport, or I don't know, whatever, films, that helps, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, your specialist subject today, Alistair, is business English. Well, translating from Spanish into English in terms of business English. That's your specialist.
This sounds like Mastermind, the way you
said that. It does. Yeah. It's
a
like
very,
Mastermind,
very popular TV show that ran for years and years. I don't know if it's still going. I don't think so.
No,
in the 70s
know.
And 80s. So it was a Mastermind. So it was to find the mastermind of Britain. So the most, you know, the cleverest person, or at least the person very good at doing quizzes. And you always had two rounds. No, it was your specialist subject.
That's right.
So you chose it, whatever that would be. And then your general knowledge. So it was two rounds. No. So in this case, there's no general knowledge. It's just specialist subject, translating business English from Spanish.
That's right.
I feel
exactly.
like I'm on Mastermind, finally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is your moment, Alistair.
It's my
moment. Okay, let's go with
Hit
number
me.
One. Yeah. First one is Pime.
Okay, I not exactly sure what it stands for in Spanish. I think I know, but in English is a small business.
That's right. A small business. Now, this is kind of interesting, right? In Spanish, I think it's PYME is pequeño y mediano empresa, puede ser? Something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I suppose in English you want to translate directly, it would be like small and medium-sized businesses. But we tend to just say small business or small businesses.
We do. But we do have an abbreviation as well. Do we?
Oh, I didn't know. What is it?
Yeah. SME.
Ah, which is?
Small and medium enterprise.
Ah, so the same. Small, very similar. Enterprises. Yeah. Same idea. Mm. But in general sort of conversation.
In general,
just say small. I have a small business. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So good. I think you get a point there.
Okay, good, good.
Number two is autónomo.
There are two possible translations. Self-employed, mm-hmm. so like auto-empleado, or freelance.
Yeah,
so like I'm absolutely. A freelance English teacher or a self-employed English teacher.
Yep. You can say, you can also say freelancer. Can you say that?
Oh, well, yeah, if you don't specify, you say, I'm a freelancer. Yeah. And you could say, what? You say, oh, I'm a freelance English teacher.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you've got, self-employed, a freelance something, or a freelance, or a freelancer. So I suppose you've got two nouns there, freelance or a freelancer.
Yeah, I actually don't have that written down here. I just have self-employed and freelance, but, you know.
Yeah, freelance does exist, people say.
Yeah, it does exist as well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good, well done. 2 out of 2 so far. Number 3 is emprendedor.
Well, this is a French word. Well, you speak French. It sounds like a French word.
It is a French word.
We use it in English, which happens quite a lot, which we have mentioned before. A lot of French influence in English. So it's entrepreneur. Mm. I have no idea how to spell it. It's quite difficult. Well, I could probably have a go at it, but I might be wrong.
Yeah,
because it is French, and I don't speak French. So it's strange you've got French words in English that lots of people have problems. We know how to pronounce them, I think, usually, entrepreneur, but how to spell it can be
more
quite
difficult.
Complicated. Usually combinations of Qs and Es and Us. Mm. And
yes,
like
that's true.
This morning in a session, somebody asked me, how do you say embalse?
Okay.
And I was like, oh, it's a French word, is reservoir.
Oh, that's true.
Like the Tarantino film Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I never know how to spell reservoir. I always have to look it up.
That's true. Yeah.
Very difficult.
Yeah, that is not an easy one to spell. No.
Anyway, that's entrepreneur true. Is the answer.
Yeah, entrepreneur is the answer to number 3. Good. Mm-hmm. You're on a run. You're on a roll, let's say. Yeah. You're on a roll. Good. Number 4 is ingresos.
Now, this may seem easy. I can hear the listeners screaming out. You know, when you hear these quizzes on the radio, you sort of shout out, or the TV, you shout out the answers, no, to the television.
Yeah.
And they're saying, incomes.
Yeah.
And it isn't. It's income. That's singular. Funny. Well, it's not singular. It's uncountable in English, strangely, perhaps. So you wouldn't say my incomes. You say my income. So your income is a combination of all the different sources, fuentes, or types, mm-hmm. tipos. So you may have different sources of income. So imagine, apart from my income from teaching English, I also have, I own a flat and I rent it. So I've got two sources of income, the rent from the flat and my English teaching, my salary. Mm. So all of that combined is my income. But I wouldn't say I have two incomes. One from the flat and one from teaching English. Now, I'd say I have two sources of income or two types of income. Source is the best word.
Yeah.
Fuente. Yeah, yeah. But everything is my income. So you have to declare your income to the tax office, no? Not your incomes.
That's right.
So we don't use it in plural. So
we don't use it in plural, absolutely. And there are other words that we've discussed in previous episodes that also have this particular issue, right? Where in Spanish you have the S or you have the plural, where in English you don't. Yeah, because it's countable.
One of our very first, second or third episode, maybe second, was about advices, no?
Yeah.
So you can't say an advice or advices, consejos. You have to say, I'll give you some advice or just advice. But you can't say an advice.
Exactly.
So people can go back maybe and listen to that one. Number 2 or 3, I think.
Very early on. Yeah, very absolutely. Early on. Number 5, beneficio. What would you say for that one, Alistair? Beneficio.
Well, I suppose it depends how you're using it.
Yes.
But if it's what I think you're thinking, the beneficios of una empresa, no?
Yeah.
Would be profits. Well, profit singular or profits in plural, often used in plural, no?
Yeah.
So the profits of, Telefonica or whichever company is, have made huge profits this year or increased their profits by 20% or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, benefits in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the false friend there, isn't it? Because you've got like the whole idea of beneficio and you would go to benefits. But and I many Spanish speakers go straight to benefit, which is incorrect, obviously. But
If you talk about the money that a company is making from, you know, the difference between the value of what they sell minus their costs. So that beneficios, that is profits.
Yeah.
Or profit.
So in a way, we should probably explain what actually benefits means in English if we can't go from beneficio to benefits, right?
Yeah.
Well, you
have a company, so I suppose you make profits. I hope, Daniel, to be able to pay me, which you do. So but what other benefits do you have in your work or in your job apart from making profits? Hopefully.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So obviously, as a digital business, one of the benefits is that I can, and in fact, probably because I've got family here in Spain, but technically, you know, I could live anywhere in the world if I could, you know, I could be a digital nomad if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, that's a new fashionable expression, isn't it? Digital nomad, especially in Spain.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
This concept of the digital nomad.
Yeah,
same for me. The main benefit of my job, I suppose. Well, two benefits. I don't have a boss because I don't think of you as my boss. We're collaborators, maybe.
Absolutely,
I'm not sure which word.
Yeah.
So not having a boss is great. Or not a boss in the sense that most people have bosses.
Yeah.
And I work from home remotely, 100%. So for me, these are two great benefits. But it's not money. It's other things that are beneficial, that are good. So, you know, if you have a company car or health insurance or other aspects of your job that are very beneficial, are good, positive things, then you say, are there benefits? Not being able to walk to work. If you live near where you work and you can go there on a bicycle or walking, not spending hours in the traffic jam, then that's a benefit. But it's not money.
Sure.
Which would be your profits. No, it's a different thing.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. That's a benefit, often called social benefit, when it's kind of like connected. If you're kind of going for an interview and you might say, okay, what are the social benefits connected to this position or
apart
this role?
From the salary.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. And another word that you might want to use, which is even a little bit more of a higher level word, is perks. Yeah. So you can have like perks can be obviously used connected to a job, but also a perk can be something unrelated to a job, right? There are a lot of perks, I don't know, for doing something in particular, right?
Yeah, it's just like, I suppose the good things of something, the extra, I know the perk of living in Spain, I don't know, the fantastic
good weather,
food,
the nice
or
food
or the good weather.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Or the perks of a job is things we mentioned, like you might, in a job interview, you might, you know, talk about the perks. They may say to you, there are a few perks. Apart from your salary, we offer you perks like health insurance, company car, etc.
Yeah.
Paying for your lunches, giving you these lunches. In Spain, it's not very common in England, but in Spain it's quite, or it used to be, I don't know if it still is, giving people like these, what do they call them? I can't think. Well, basically it's like vouchers, tickets.
Yeah.
That you can exchange in the restaurant for food.
Yeah.
And the company is paying for your lunch, basically. And that's, so it's not directly money, but it's a benefit. No, it's a perk of the job.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're actually referred to as like ticket restaurante, right? I think
ticket restaurante. Or ticket gourmet, I've heard as well.
Yes, exactly. Which is actually a little bit difficult to translate into English, isn't it? Because you kind of...
Yeah, they don't
like,
really
number
exist,
one,
I've never heard of
it. Ticket... Yeah, well, yeah, it doesn't really work. Yeah. It doesn't work in the UK. Yeah. But ticket is a bit of a strange one to connect with restaurante. And then so actually when you're translating it, you kind of think, well, how can I... But the word you used... It's not really a ticket, is it? As you say, it's like a... We would probably say like a lunch voucher or something like that, a food
lunch
voucher or something.
Yeah,
something like
that.
That
would be the expression, lunch voucher, food voucher. Yeah, a voucher is always something you in exchange. So I give you this piece of paper that has a value and in exchange you give me food, no? for the value of whatever it is on the voucher. Or like vouchers for shopping, no? A voucher from the Corte Inglés. So you can give somebody no vouchers as a Christmas present. So you say, you know, you have these vouchers to a value of 100 euros you can spend on what you want in a particular shop, no? Yeah, I think we would use that word, not ticket, no? Ticket is a...
No, definitely
entrada,
not.
Yeah. No? A ticket to enter...
A concert,
Yeah, a concert ticket or a cinema ticket or theatre ticket.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Anyway.
Anyway, let's
go on.
Push
How
on.
Am I doing so far? Where are we?
You're doing well. You're doing... That's number five. So, number six, rentabilidad.
Well, this relates back to the previous one. So, if...
It does.
Yeah, so it'd be profitability.
Correct.
Profitability.
Yes.
So obviously you make beneficios, profits, and you say, you know, a company is very profitable as an adjective, and then you talk about the profitability as a noun of a particular business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a level of profitability. Like
very high profitability or medium or low or whatever it may be.
That's right, that's right. Good, well done. You've got that one. Number seven is a little bit easier. Trabajo en equipo.
Ah, easy. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Well, you could say working
good.
In a team, but as one, you can use one word. I think written, well, you can write it separately and write it together even, maybe. I'm never quite sure.
Yeah, I have it down as together here, but I think you can probably have it separable,
so you can write it together or separate. Teamwork, basically.
Very good one, yes. Very important when you're in interview as well, kind of talking about teamwork, how well you do teamwork. I think that's important
to get
that in
question,
your mind.
Isn't it? Are you good at working in a team? Or
absolutely.
Good team. Are you a team player? Is a typical question.
También. Sí,
yeah, classic.
Sí, claro. Good. Number eight, factura. This is an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, actually, again, it maybe depends which type of factura, but the one I think you're thinking of is an invoice. So, for example, I send you, well, I just did, we're at the end of March, I sent you my monthly invoice for my classes. One invoice is sort of, you know, factura, one between two companies. Well, okay, I'm not a company exactly, but two businesses, if you like.
Yeah.
Paying for services usually, no? So it's factura, to invoice, and you send your invoice. So, you know, all your teachers send you their invoice for their classes at the end of each month, and you pay them. Thankfully. So, but I think you can also say factura de casa. So in Spain, at least, I don't know about Latin America, they refer to the, you know, electricity, gas, telephone, etc., also as facturas. So in English, this would be something different. So we wouldn't call that an invoice.
No, we wouldn't.
We call it your electricity bill, your phone bill, your gas bill. What else? Water bill, which is the same word we use for la cuenta. So when you're in the restaurant and you ask for la cuenta, you say, the bill, please. So it's got two meanings, bill. What you pay in the restaurant, the bill. And also the bills of your house to do with the services you receive, like gas, water, electricity. But when you're talking about two businesses, one business trying to get money from the other for work done or services provided, is an invoice. So it's actually quite complicated, this thing about, you know, cuenta, factura. So depending what you're talking about, there's a different word. So you ask for the bill in the restaurant, you talk about your electricity bill in your home, your phone bill. But then between you and me, for example, I invoice you at the end of each month for my work, you know, for the English teaching, and you pay me.
Yeah.
So between two sort of businesses, for example, is invoicing.
Yeah. Yeah. You invoice each other. Yeah. You invoice someone, you send the invoice. Or you
send them an invoice. Yeah. So you use it as a verb, to invoice, factura,
as well.
Or as a noun, an invoice. You send your invoice or the invoice.
That's right. That's right. Good. Number nine. Let's go through a few more. This one is an interesting one. Prestar.
Okay. And I think we've covered this in a previous episode of the podcast.
We have. Yeah.
So prestar is to lend. To lend.
Yes.
So the bank lends you money to buy a house, for example.
That's right.
Which
exactly.
is a mortgage, as we mentioned. Hipoteca, no? Or a bank loan to buy a car. So anyway, somebody lends you money.
Good. Number 10, pedir prestado, which is very
This
similar.
Is what we covered before, yes, because in Spanish is one word, prestar, one verb that you have to use in a slightly different way, as you did. But in English, we have two verbs, very important to distinguish this. So the bank lends you money, which is the prestar, and in this case, you borrow money from the bank.
That's
so
right.
We've got two, to lend and borrow. So in this case is borrow.
Lend and borrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I borrowed money to buy my flat and the bank lent me the money, which is the mortgage.
Absolutely. Good. Number 11, confiar.
Okay. This is, and again, I think we might cover this in a previous episode, is trust. Trust someone.
Yeah, super important one. Super important in business. Absolutely. Mm. Trust is vital in business, right?
There's always the question comes up quite often. I just came up this week. I think someone said, "Is it trust in?"
We did
cover this when we mentioned. So you say yes, you can say you can use in. It's possible. Sometimes we do to trust in someone or trust in something. Could be a business, an organization, but we don't use it very often. So it's much more common. So it's sort of optional, but you don't need to say in. It's much more typical to say, you know, trust me. Or I don't trust this person, or I do trust this person. So you don't really need the in. I would say probably better to avoid it.
I would say so too. Yeah, it doesn't. That preposition is not really required, right?
Yeah.
So you just
we
trust
do use
someone.
It sometimes. Like I think we gave an example.
There's a song, trusting, isn't there?
Yeah, trusting in song me. Sometimes trusting me, trusting God. But these are very particular uses of it that are not, you know, the everyday use that we would. So I'd say most of the time you don't need to say in. You just say, trust me, or, oh, do you trust this person? Yes, I trust him, or trust her.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Sounds more natural,
good.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one, next one is interesting because I think most Spanish speakers actually use the English version more than the Spanish version. So, the word is lluvia de ideas.
It's one of those anglicisms that seems to have passed into... every language, I imagine.
Into every language, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but if you want, that is the direct translation in Spanish of brainstorm. Well, to brainstorm as a verb or to do a brainstorming session. Now, let's do some brainstorming.
Yes,
exactly. So literally brainstorm is tormenta de ideas. Or lluvia or tormenta. Well, literally it's tormenta, but obviously tormenta, you can understand lluvia, no rain.
Exactly.
But as you say, lots of Spanish speakers just say, vamos a hacer un brainstorming, no?
Yeah, with a rolling R, no?
Yeah, with a brainstorming.
Because
that's
really,
one that people probably know, yes, in business.
Yeah, for sure. That's Number 13 is an important one because a lot of people have questions about this and get confused. 13 is presupuesto.
And again, we have covered this in the past, but this is a good summary, actually, of quite a lot of things we've covered, but they're very important, and obviously lots of people may not have heard those particular episodes. So, it depends what you mean. I'm going to interpret what you're meaning as a budget, which I think is the word that most Spanish speakers know that word, but sometimes they use it incorrectly, which is what we covered in a previous episode. So, if you're talking about... the amount of money that you have to spend on something. So you say, you know, the company has a certain budget on, I don't know, the training budget, the amount of money this year that your company can spend on training. If you're a big company, maybe it's a lot. I don't know. We have 2 million euros to spend on training. That would be good.
Yeah.
That's the budget. So you can't go past that. That's the amount of money you have to spend on that particular thing. That is your budget, no?
Yeah.
So if you mean presupuesto in that sense, then the word is budget. But you could mean it in another sense. And then
the word
would be different.
Yes. And then the word would be, Alistair?
And here we've got three words, just to make it more complicated.
Okay.
So you've got quotation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, the same word, but an abbreviation of quotation very common is quote.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say quotation or quote. Maybe quote is more common. And then an estimate.
Yes, an estimate. That's right.
So basically, this is a... So, Daniel, I'm going to turn this round on you.
Oh, are you? Okay. Okay, go on then.
So my quiz question. So what does that mean? What's the difference between a budget and quotation, estimate.
Estimate, yeah. So as you were saying, really, budget is when you actually have the money already, right? And you actually are looking to spend that money, and you've got a certain budget, as you mentioned, like 2 million or whatever it might be, right?
Sort of a maximum,
So, yeah. You're kind of looking to invest. You're kind of wanting to buy something, right? Or you've got that bag of money that you've got that you can spend. Whereas a quote is slightly different, and this always reminds me of maybe when I was back in the UK and we were kind of, I don't know, wanted to change the windows of our house or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you get the salesman to come along and he'd look at your house, look at all the windows, see how many windows you got, look at the different models of windows. And then normally he would walk out the door saying that he would send us a quote, right?
Yeah.
And basically,
and maybe you ask him for a quote.
No? Absolutely.
He'll send
yeah.
you a quote for the cost.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's important. It's an important word, right? It's like, and in many cases, it's very interesting because I've done a few posts on LinkedIn where the difference between budget and quote. I think there is quite a lot of confusion. So yeah, budget is kind of very much, maybe for those people who kind of work in human resources, they've got a certain sort of training budget, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you want to buy something and you're not sure how much it costs, then you would ask for a quote, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a quote, estimate, quotation, any of those three words. Quote, yeah. Probably the most common. No?
Yeah.
Because it's obviously the reason you ask for a quote to do something, some kind of renovation in your house, like replacing the windows or whatever it may be, a new kitchen, or is precisely because most people have a budget. So you have a sort of an amount of money that you feel you can afford to spend on this thing, replacing the windows in your house. So, okay, I think we could, up to a maximum of whatever it may be, I don't know, €5,000, just to choose a number. That's your budget that you can spend. You maybe prefer to spend less if possible, but you could go up to €5,000. That's your budget.
Yeah.
So that's why you ask for quotes. Obviously, you may ask for two or three quotes from different suppliers and fitters of windows, installers, and then you'll choose one. Now, that could be based purely on the price. Well, it has to come within your budget.
Yeah.
So if somebody says 6,000, you go, oh, sorry, I only have a budget of 5. So, and if somebody says 4,000, oh, great, that's within my budget. And then obviously you may choose on other things, no? Other criteria on quality of materials or how much you trust that person to give you a good service. You know, it's not only money, but obviously if the quote is bigger than your budget, then you can't afford it, no?
You can't afford it.
Question.
Absolutely. Good. We're nearly there, Alistair. That was number 13. And number 14, this is all of this. If you get this right, you might get a prize, Alistair. Ooh. You might get a prize.
Okay.
Okay, so number 14 is Tengo una duda. Tengo una duda.
Ah, well, yeah, this is a classic that we hear very, very often from our clients, students. So people, well, I tell you, Spanish people would say, usually, I have a doubt. But it's not, I have a doubt. Not. That's the literal translation, I have a doubt.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say that as an English native speaker. You'd say, I have a question.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wouldn't use doubt in that sense. And I think, again, we did do an episode about doubt.
We did, yeah.
And how to use it correctly. So you'd say, I have a question.
Yeah.
So
did I get
14 out of 14?
You got 14 out of 14, yes, yes. So you did very well. We you know, that's good to know, considering that's kind of the 100%. The thing that... Yeah.
Now, in this case, I'm not competing with another person. A quiz would usually be the somebody else.
And,
you know, there's a winner. But in this case, it's just me. So so what's my prize, Daniel?
Your prize is that you can come back next week and be on the show again.
Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you. Wonderful prize. You can buy me a pint of Guinness next time.
Oh, okay. And of course, I'm gonna pay your invoice as well. So.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm still waiting to be paid for my... Okay, that'll do.
Because if I don't pay your invoice, you might need to borrow some money, mightn't you, from somebody else?
Yeah, I don't want to be borrowing money.
And then you wouldn't trust me anymore, would you? You wouldn't trust me anymore.
I wouldn't trust you again. That would be it. I wouldn't work for you anymore. So that'd be the end of the podcast, at least with me. But I do trust you, and I'm sure you are going to pay my invoice for today or soon. And then I can accept my prize of the privilege of being able to continue working with you on these wonderful
Absolutely. Podcasts.
Absolutely, so absolutely.
Who needs money?
Well done. Well, who needs money? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a benefit. It's not a monetary benefit, just a benefit.
That's right. But I will buy you a pint. I will buy you a pint. Don't worry.
Okay.
I will buy you a pint. That's your real price.
I'll hold you to that. There's a nice expression. I'll hold you to
it. You can trust me. You can trust me. Don't worry. You can trust me.
Yeah.
All right, Alistair, thank you very much. That was really fun. We'll see each other again next week, okay?
Yeah, as my prize now, so I'm back again.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cheers.
All right, speak soon. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.